This podcast of The Magic Word is brought to you by East Coast Mind Jam, happening in Somerset, New Jersey on March 28th through 30th. This one-time-only event will be featuring Mark Salem, Richard Osterlund, Ted Karmilowicz, Banachek, Doc Hilford, and Devin Knight. It will also be honoring Tony Spina. So be sure to visit eastcoastmindjam.com for more information and register today. Hello, this is Scott Wells for The Magic Word, and today in South Lake Tahoe, actually we're in Reno, Nevada, and visiting at the airport, had a chance to visit with good friend Dean Hanke. Hello there, Dean.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Very good. Good to see you. Excellent and see you. I wanted to thank you, first of all, for coming all the way to the airport over here. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Reno, unlike other large metropolis areas, is everything is 10 to 15 minutes away, so.
Yeah, very convenient. Yeah, I was going to say, I told you, and you just jetted right over real quickly.
Sure, so
it's,
right.
It's not like Houston or some major city,
no,
I guess.
So,
yeah,
no,
easy to get around.
Nice small town living.
Yeah. Now, you were the one who was our liaison whenever that we had hosted the IBM convention here twice in Reno. They put everything together. But what I really wanted to chat with you about was kind of your business model, your business plan.
Sure.
So tell me a little bit about, what's the name of the company again? It's called?
Powerful Success Solutions.
Powerful Success Solutions,
right.
Okay.
I've been a full-time showroom entertainer for, 40 years. Certainly haven't been in the showrooms that whole time.
Yeah. But when you're saying showrooms, you mean like a casino
like
here
casino
in Reno?
Casino showrooms, yeah. Producer, performer. You know, whatever it takes. And
you had Illusions and everything as well, or just comedy thing?
Okay. Oh, sure, yeah. We had, at one point, we had over 100 Illusions that we were either using or leveraging out into theme park shows or into other production events or cruise ship productions or other casino review shows.
Mm-hmm.
And
that you built or had built or for
had
you?
Built, okay. Yeah, yeah. Many of the things were like John Gaughan pieces or Willie Kennedy or, and then there were a couple custom made pieces, but I'm not the most creative dude in the world.
Okay.
So I relied on the expertise of others.
Yeah.
And why reinvent the world? I mean, my goodness, if the metamorphosis works, it works.
Exactly, and there's a reason it works.
There's a reason.
There's reasons. It's a classic, sure.
Exactly. So, I mean, we did things even like Zigzag and got a phenomenal response with it. You know, just because it's boring or potentially outdated to us doesn't mean it is to our audience. So.
Yeah, yeah. And so you were doing all the casinos, and so
sure.
That you are not doing as many Illusion shows as you were before?
Or no, okay. I'm not doing as much. I sold off most of my Illusions. Still have a few pieces left that I'll probably just hold on to for memento's sake, if you will.
Yeah.
But mostly now I speak, preach, teach, nag, and help businesses grow their business bottom line without breaking the bank, leveraging my money-making marketing insights from the magic industry and the entertainment industry, because as you know, we market and produce results different than any other industry on the planet.
That's true.
So I teach the insight strategies of show business to grow business for rockstar results and sold-out success. Try that at home.
Well, how is your model different from others?
I don't know that it is necessarily different. I would say just model the best strategies that have produced consistent results. For me, and especially with the high-tech revolution, you know, and I'm an old guy, so, you know, it's still a second language to me. But I'm a highly social guy, so we leverage the results and the services and solutions that are available on the internet, i.e. social media, internet, and being able to deliver instead of printed collateral, we deliver it through the internet now. So same model, same process, same principle.
It's a different way of delivering the model.
It's just a slightly different way. So instead of maybe flying to Chicago to meet with a prospective buyer, I would set up a video conference, or I would send out a video. So instead of, for instance, here's a strategy that I think too few are using, and that is because we're highly relational, the key is to bridge the gap from high tech to high touch back again, because the more we get invested in technology, the more we really crave that interpersonal communication, that touch that's so desperately needed in our business to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Just sending an email is not as effective as if I were to say I got a communication where you were interested in booking me for a product presentation or for a keynote presentation or a half day or full day training, whatever it is. And so instead of just responding with text on a white computer screen, I might record a super simple, very personal message. Hey, Scott, great to hear from you. I'd love to serve you if I can. Here's links, and here's some strategies that might help you grow your business, whether I'm able to serve you or not. And, you know, so the goal is to relationally add as much value as possible. We have a covenant vow in our coaching program, and that is that never leave the site of a human interaction without creating value. Because that's the thing that people will remember. If I help you do something,
right,
are you more or less likely to want to further our relationship?
Right.
So,
right.
Real simple in that way.
Well, this is very much a relationship type of business, obviously, and there are other people that they can kind of go through and find somebody, certainly on the internet, you know, just go to the next person.
Right.
And so it's always best to have word of mouth or something where you have a relationship with that person, and the closer they know you, the more likely they are to hire you, and then yet again after you've been hired then the first time as well. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I hear you saying then as this one suggestion that you're making is to create or record a video that you would then embed in an email or something that you would send out
absolutely.
To somebody and say, rather than just typing something and saying, hey, here's what I do, you can actually say, hit this link and here's an embedded video.
Right, exactly. And you can because of the nature of technology now, it's so easy to literally record directly to and on the different mediums, whether it's YouTube, which seems to be the most common.
Right. Or Vimeo.
Vimeo or any one of those. But you can go to YouTube. You can hit record. Your screen camera will come on. So you don't have to actually record it, then upload it, then wait. You can record it directly onto YouTube.
It doesn't have to be sophisticated, high quality, high def and all that necessarily.
You know, the cool thing about relationships is they're dirty. They're messy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not perfect. They're not pristine.
You don't have to write it and kind of read a script or have something.
Exactly.
I'm going to try and say a transcriber or something, just say a teleprompter or anything
Correct.
Like that. You just say whatever
Correct.
You want, just like we're talking now.
Well, the nature of the relationship is that you want it to be authentic.
Exactly.
The less Spielberg production you have, the more genuine author
you'll come off.
Kind of, exactly.
And you want to do business with friends,
exactly.
you know, rather than a business.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. We've all heard the model B2B, which is business to business.
Yeah.
B2C, business to consumer, C2C, and all those different kinds of things.
Okay.
I think all of those are a hoax. I think every business model is P2P, people to people. That's
okay.
right.
Okay.
Because whether you're a you know, a person who serves on the front line, or whether you're the management team, or whether you're the CEO of an organization, you get dressed the same way. You
right.
have the same hurts. You have the same wants. You have the same dreams, desires. They may be slightly different based on your circumstance, but that's human nature, not business nature.
Right.
So anything you can do to create that indelible trust, and again, being technology, it's video and audio, it has more modalities. People can see what you're saying. They can watch your body language, which is a huge portion of...
And it allows you also to do this and cross so many borders and do it fairly inexpensively, if not basically for free, you know, from here to China or wherever that you want to go. It's not just across the border of the state.
That's exactly right. And the nice thing is, not only is it low cost, but it's high impact, and it's faster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm technically reclined, so my typing skills, I'm a hunt and pecker.
Okay.
So it's faster for mm-hmm. me to create a more visually more engaging, more impactful communication.
Right.
With a super simple video. And we're talking 30 minutes. We're not talking, you know, long. You respect their time. You just
30 minutes seems like a long time.
30 seconds.
Oh, seconds. I'm
did
sorry.
Did I say minutes?
I thought you did.
I might have said minutes.
Okay, yeah. So you want to get in and out. So 30
right.
seconds is kind of
right.
a brief message.
Right. And if you want to be, you know, if you have some further communications with them and you want to introduce, you know, again, testimonials through video, you can say, hey, I've just bumped this, and again, you can do this on YouTube. They have a free YouTube editor that allows you to do this.
That's true, yeah.
So you can pull down and basically edit those things together, and however long it takes for that to render, you can respond and say, hey, here's what other happy buyers in your market have had to say, and there's, you know, maybe there's 2 minutes of what you might expect from me to see if I'm even a good fit for you, as an example.
Hmm. Now, do you find that people open those or download them? My thought would be immediately that some may think if I see this kind of a link or something, it's attachment, particularly if it's going to a business, that number one, it may go directly in spam. Number two, that they may not be able to open it because they're at their company and that they can't open certain attachments. Do you find that to be an issue?
That's a great question. That's why the distinction is I leverage the online tools like YouTube, like Vimeo. So now it's just a link.
Yes, okay.
Now it's just a link, and they can choose.
It's not embedded.
It's not embedded.
Attachment, yeah.
Now, if I know them and we have an ongoing relationship, I might embed a 30-second video or a quick audio into it.
An unsolicited Bluebird call.
No, generally speaking, I rarely do that kind of outreach anyway. Mm-hmm. In other words, I don't reach out to people who...
But they may to you. I'm just saying,
if they contact you
and say, Dean, that we're interested,
correct,
I saw you on the internet, and then do you respond with a quick email or do you respond with a 30-second video?
Both. So I put in the email a personal introduction video that I may have made. I make a few lines and say, hey, I've taken the liberty of making a real quick 30-second, let them know so they know exactly what they're in for.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a safe, it's not attached. You can go to, YouTube, which is completely and totally safe.
Right.
And just watch my response to your thing,
Right.
So make it really simple.
At this point, obviously the first question that people who want to book an act want to know is how much. That's the last question you want to answer, of course, because you have so much information you need to find out yet from them.
Sure.
So in that initial response, whenever that they are saying, hey, we need somebody, how much is it going to be, how do you respond?
There's a bunch of ways. To me, the answer is simple. I can't serve you honestly and with integrity if I don't know what it is you want. I could sell you four wheels and a steering wheel, but you may want a BMW, and on the other hand,
or a motorcycle.
Exactly. You may want and desire David Copperfield entertainment, but your budget may not support that kind of thing.
Or vice versa. Yeah, you may be wrong.
That's right. Or you may not.
The quote. Yeah.
Exactly. So I usually say before you, I usually work with a kind of a budget outline. So let me ask you a question before you answer. Let me tell you why I'm asking. I ask because you may be interested in somebody like David Copperfield. Your budget may not support that, but I want to make sure you get a full-time professional result for you and your business,
right,
so that we can indeed support you based on your budget range. So I'm going to give you some information. Let's find out a little bit more about what you want, need, desire, and ultimately deserve, and then let's see if we can make that happen. Here's my covenant vow, my promise to you. I will make sure that you get a solution. Even if the solution is not to have professional entertainment at your event,
right,
I will make that recommendation. I will say, here's how you can better funnel those $200, $300, $400, $500
okay,
into making a better event for you and not trying to get a low quality because...
So what I hear you saying there is that sometimes whenever they say, well, we only have a budget of X dollars, and you're saying that was better spent, more in your, not entertainment, but, just have a better dessert or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And
come back next year when you have a bigger budget.
Exactly. Because I want to serve them. First of all, my goal is to serve. That's it. End of story. And sometimes that service means that we can put in place a solution. Sometimes it might mean that I can serve them with a more economical local entertainer in my area, or sometimes it might we take them off the stage and into a hospitality environment.
Yeah.
Or it might mean that we can, indeed, they do have a budget. I had a client, Phillips Petroleum, called me up, I said, same thing, basically, what's your budget range? They said, well, we were thinking somewhere in the neighborhood, and they were actually... I should preface it by saying they were initially inquiring about just a 1 hour, 190-minute hypnosis presentation.
Yep.
So they said, well, we have about $40,000. And so in that case, I said, great, that's great. We can do something for that. Here's my coaching counsel for you. And that is, and then I talked them into a thing that, first of all, she saved quite a bit of money. We didn't certainly use that entire budget. Because it wasn't necessary. They were at a facility that was taking care of all of their decor. They had already invested in their advanced decor, their decorations and all that sort of thing. And so they had everything else taken care of. Facility, the the
right.
food,
food and everything.
Yeah, everything was taken care of. So literally the only thing I could have done for them was the entertainment, maybe an excursion.
Were they saying the $40,000 in this particular case was all just what was remaining for the entertainment budget, or was that in total?
No, that was what they had set aside for
that event.
Okay. Now keep in mind, as you know, that these people were pulling, grasping at straws.
Sure.
So they really didn't have $40,000.
Okay.
What they really had was probably $10,000 to $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little bit more due diligence. I'm a big advocate and proponent of asking a lot of really good questions so you get a lot of really good answers.
Right.
And ultimately they never revealed that they didn't have $40,000, but the solution that they were looking for didn't require $40,000. It just
sure.
didn't.
Yeah.
So we were able to produce we got some strolling entertainment, we got some interactive entertainment, caricature artists,
right.
and things like that. And the whole thing came in still for much less, like less than just under $10,000 for that
mm-hmm.
same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they got world, they were delighted beyond their imagination. They'd saved over $30,000. They were, I mean,
right.
now they're fans for life.
Everybody's, exactly. That's what you want to do.
Exactly.
Is create value of something you're going to want to come back and say, this guy saved us some money, and you have a relationship you've
yeah,
developed.
Definitely. Exactly. Value and relationships, and then a little bit of business lingo for you. LTV, you probably heard this, lifetime value.
Okay.
And that is not what you can do in a hit-and-run relationship, but if you genuinely serve them, do you think they're probably going to fly me to Atlanta as they did? Do you think they're going to bring me to Hawaii or New
right.
York or Jamaica or wherever they have their next function because I took genuine interest first,
mm-hmm.
and then ultimately genuine care of them.
Right.
So, and I didn't have to struggle with the budget on that. So, sometimes the budget's like, oh, well, we really do have a struggling budget.
Right.
And so,
it was kind of a unique situation.
Very unique. Very, very seldom do we get people calling, asking, or just stating that they have more money than they know what to do with.
Yeah, rarely seems to be the case. But in most cases, again, that someone is going to be, we have a smaller budget, and as you had suggested, I have done the same thing as well,
sure.
as saying, then you don't need to have a magician, or as you, in the case you mentioned, a hypnosis act,
exactly.
or whatever, that it's better spent wherever.
Exactly.
On the other hand, if they have some money, and they're just a little bit reluctant, one thing that I've always found is to say that if you would cut back a little bit on the gifts,
uh-huh.
or on the food or whatever, and add a little bit more if you're just a little bit short, because that people, particularly at holiday parties, let's say employees, are going to remember the entertainment a lot longer than they're going to remember A, the food, or B, the free pen and pencil set that
That's
they
right.
received, for Christmas,
so
or the little paperweight or something,
Yeah.
They're going to talk about the entertainment for the whole rest of the
right.
year.
Right. Well, and in other industries, other entertainment industries, the thing is, inside of magic, for instance, we have a thing we call marketing incest. And what that basically means, if you do what only magicians have done, you'll only get what magicians have gotten as a result.
Same results, yeah.
So if you look into other industries, inside and outside the entertainment industry, for instance, you'll probably, for instance, the DJ industry was the first one to bring into the marketplace the idea of setting or establishing the buying criterion. What that means is, get this free report reveals the 7 secret strategies you need to know before hiring a wedding entertainer
mm-hmm.
and the mistakes they'll make and how to avoid them. So you've seen that thing now for the last 10 years in the magic marketing industry, but that was a nuance that the DJs had long before we as magicians did. Now, what we as magicians did better than almost any other industry is we painted the picture better. We said, imagine your child literally laughing hysterically, grabbing their stomach as the entertainer, da da da, and having your child come up to you and say, "Mommy, I love you."
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So setting, creating that picture, not say, I'll do this trick. Although that's still one of the 7 deadly sins of magic marketing. But anyway, so.
Huh. So you are creating, what would I say? I guess a psychographic, in demographics, that you have identified certain groups by their income, their age,
mm-hmm.
their location, and whatever. But psychographics would be something in which something that they would want to be, or something how they right. want to be seen by others. And
exactly.
so you are creating, you're selling the sizzle of the steak
right.
rather
Absolutely.
Than the steak. Basically.
Absolutely. Every buying decision, whether we like it or not, is an emotional decision. And we then justify it with logic. An example is that, you know, in-home entertainment professionals telling mommy how much she'll be loved by her, you know, darling child when she hires this performer. So
right.
notice he doesn't say anything about, you know, they may sell a little bit of the sizzle, i.e., your child will float on thin air. And, you know, but again, in picturesque language, visual language, so they get to sort of mentally create that picture, and then they get to see the outcome before it happens.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I see what you're saying right there. It's a different way of trying to sell it from the standpoint, as you said. You don't want to say, I'm going to do this, this, and this with Johnny, but you're going to be saying, you know, here's the way that people will remember this event.
That's right. Well, nobody wants a birthday party magician. No offense. Nobody wants a corporate or trade show magician. What they want is the result that they think that professional will invoke or deliver.
Well, it's like on trade shows. I mean, you're trying to say that I am going to create interest in your product and service or whatever it happens to be by bringing in and stopping traffic and telling them about this. You know, it's not necessarily that you're trying to show them a mystery. You know, you're using magic just really as a hook to get them to stop for a moment to sell them on the product.
Exactly. You're selling results and solutions, and you're using your skills, talents, abilities, and expertise to leverage the result. So in other words, using magic, you will convey the marketing message, you will collect the leads, you will convert them, help them to convert them to cash, whatever, in the trade show arena.
Right.
So in the restaurant arena, you will make people happy while they're waiting. So if there's any kitchen,
you make the wait time disappear.
Exactly. Because again, no offense, nobody wants a magician. Nobody wants a lawnmower. Nobody wants a drill. Nobody, you know, all those stories. You heard the drill. They want the hole. So you sell the hole, not the drill.
But how would you sell magic or magicians as opposed to, let's say, well, you know, we're thinking about having, a string quartet play, or that we're going to be having, maybe if somebody's doing birthday parties, we're going to think about having a bouncy, you know, one of those backyard inflatable things.
Sure.
Or a magician, you know, then how would you sell yourself then as magic, as being the entertainment?
For me, that's easy, having spent my entire life in love with magic and the arts, and that is that on several levels. First of all, we can do things that no other entertainment arena can accomplish. Mm-hmm. First of all, we have lots of participation. We access parts of the brain and the memory and the whole that emotional experience that they're ultimately going to walk away with that no other industry can even brazen to touch the surface of.
Right.
And so we can emotionally we can leave them with a better place, as well as we can leave them wanting more. Other arts certainly can do that. Certainly music has a way of touching
us
at an emotional level that perhaps magic needs to figure out how to do that better. But in the visual arts, you know, imagine, you know, and I know there's some terrific balloonists out there, as an example, who tell stories while they do it, and they entertain.
They're just not sitting there twisting balloons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, there's a limit to what is possible in most other arenas. As a magician, by the very nature of what we do, nothing is impossible. Hmm. We can do anything. We can make things appear or disappear. We can make things float. We can make things. I mean,
and there are expectations also.
And there are, exactly. So, as long as you're sufficiently satisfying those expectations and then beyond, again, this is all assuming that you have the chops, you know, to do whatever it is you do. There are some people, as we know in our industry, we all have to start someplace, right? Were we all bad?
At some point.
Yes,
hopefully you're
going to
get better just
and
through repetition.
That's the idea, you know, and what they say, you know, and with the advent of the new marketing coming out in the industry, not a magic story, a internet marketing business story, but the metaphor is the same. A guy bought a course on how to do reputation management, which is an internet marketing niche. If you don't know it, just look it up. Reputation management. So it's what people say about you on the internet, how you respond, and how you serve people based on their response. You have a complaint. How do you deal with that?
Right.
Okay. but on the internet, where it's incredibly potentially viral. So he bought a $27 course on internet on reputation management, and got his first client. Had no experience previous to that. But now he comes on a private forum and asks, oh, I got my thing, and they also want, where can I buy a course on that? So it's like us walking into a magic shop and potentially saying, oh, I'm doing my child's birthday party on Saturday and it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or I sold them. I got great marketing. I sold them. Or a family member or somebody, with good intentions, And they expect to be a polished performer by Saturday or a polished professional in whatever reputation management or
because
whatever.
You've already sold it.
Exactly. So good news travels fast. Bad news travels even faster.
Yeah.
So it's important to, again, all this is assuming that we are people of integrity and that we can deliver on the promises that we make.
True.
One of those promises can be easily, if I can't help you, I'll make sure you get the solution you need, desire, and ultimately deserve, even if it means not having this. So I refer as many people as I take.
Yeah.
So.
Now, of course, with the internet, and we talk about different kinds of marketing and things you're doing then now that none of us would envision, of course, some years ago.
Yeah.
I assume you do webinars and those kinds of things then now?
Tons of webinars.
Tell me about them.
Teleseminars, webinars, individual. I do a ton of Skype coaching, as it were.
Yeah.
So webinars are a great tool.
And how's that different from a teleseminar?
Okay, teleseminar is telephone. So it's a bridge line or a group line where people can call in and they can hear all the same content as everybody else and potentially even respond back to the presenter or the...
Okay. And it could be done with several people at a time as opposed...
It could be done with thousands of people at a time. And the same thing with webinars. It's just the same thing but on the web. Mm-hmm. So teleseminars, telephone, webinars on the web. And the good news is the technology has advanced so greatly that you can create the value, interactive, and impact result on a thing called Google Plus, right?
Okay.
You all know about Google Hangouts?
Yep. Well, explain that.
Okay. Google Hangouts is a free service of Google that allows you to get onto their web, fire up your web camera, and begin to communicate to anybody who happens to stop by your YouTube web location.
Okay. So you could be live. Tell them at a certain time,
that's right.
All going to be here.
So 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, we're going to talk about the 3 most important things you need to grow your business bottom line without breaking the bank. It's going to be a 40-minute webinar, and then a recording will be immediately available for replay should you not be available at that time.
Can they not record that on their own at home?
They can, but with Google Hangouts, it does that automatically for you. You start talking about 5 to 10 minutes in, it's already streaming to the recording mechanism. So as soon as you get done, like let's say I come 5 minutes late to the webinar, but I want to catch the beginning. Instead of watching live, I can literally hit back and watch the webinar from the beginning.
Okay.
If I want to. Or I can watch the entire webinar after it's been fully and completed.
Now, is everybody going to be on video or just the person who initiates this?
You can have up to 10 people on video.
Okay.
You can have unlimited thousands, hundreds of thousands, whatever the Google or YouTube bandwidth will allow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can have unlimited viewers, and so your viewership is unlimited. You can have an expert panel of 10 people, or you can do a web conference for facilitate any process or project you're going through, like the IBM convention. You can have your meetings, and then if somebody missed it, they can watch the recording. Or
now, how would you monetize that then?
Oh, you monetize that in several ways. Obviously, you can charge for the webinar.
You have to have like a password protected kind of a thing or something?
There are some what they call plugins or tools or software that allow you to privatize that process. The other part is if nobody knows it's there, they don't know that it's there.
Okay, so you could just... Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
So you can just say...
It could happen by, just by happenstance, but the odds are probably not.
The odds are excruciatingly slim that people are going to accidentally stumble upon your live or post-recorded webinar.
Right.
So, if you have a list, I'd send it out to my, 10,000 people and say, hey, I'm doing this free or this low cost or whatever it is I'm doing.
Right.
I mostly use webinars I create value, so I do a lot of free webinars. And then for people who have embraced me as one of their mentors or trainers, we do a ton of coaching through group training, through webinar, through video.
Now, when you're saying coaching, are you coaching them to be better magicians, better performers, better marketers, and or all of the above?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Here's the thing. Really, it's sort of a business therapy model, if you will. I know that sounds kind of weird, but it's sort of a business therapy in that if you haven't figured out your best practices as a human being, mm-hmm. is your business going to suffer? Probably. In other words, if you're a cruddy person, are you going to have a really engaging business model? Probably not. I mean, because ultimately people are booking you
right.
and me, even if they're buying a lawnmower.
Okay.
Okay? Now, again, kind of goes back to ultimately they're buying a result, but they're buying the result from you or me.
Okay.
Okay. So, simply put, yes, we look at finances. If you're struggling so hard that you can't afford a free webinar because you can't afford it, to go buy a $20 camera or $40 yeah. or $90 webcam,
yeah.
then that's an issue that needs to be addressed and looked at. So it's never, I wish I could say it's marketing, business development, coaching. It's never ends up being that way. That's what it's presented as usually. It's, yeah, I help people with their magic marketing process. And again, for me, I spent so many years helping magicians put business into their show. I now spend most of my time showing businesses how to put show into their business. Because again, as I said before, we market different than any other industry on the planet. So,
okay. What would be just a few ideas, you know,
sure.
top half dozen or so things that you could recommend for magicians to be more business-minded and to book more shows?
Sure. The good news is it's relatively simple, and it's not stuff we mostly don't know. We all, if we've ever booked even a single show in our life, there was a process by which that was achieved.
If mostly you kind of fell into it, though.
Well, you'd think. But if we analyze that process,
yeah.
it's not always just a fall into it kind of thing. Somebody might make an introduction or you might be in the right place at the right time. But typically speaking, when you say you fall into it, usually a series of serendipitous things occur, not this
yeah.
perfect, you know, the rainbow align and the stars and the moon and the sun and all those things align.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that wouldn't happen. We wouldn't be here anyway. But, sorry. But it's usually this weird roundabout way that we end up getting booked. And that... The distinction for us is to systematize what we realize works. For instance, I imagine there was something you used to do very specifically, very consciously, very systematically, very consistently,
mm-hmm.
that maybe you don't do as often as you used to do. For instance, for me...
That's true.
Exactly.
Well, I don't send out thank you. I have some postcards that mm-hmm. are specially printed that I have made that are customized for
right.
my clients, and right. I don't send them out... after every show like I should. I mean, sometimes
sure.
you get so busy,
right.
you're booking the next show that I just don't get around to
yeah.
sending those out.
And the nice thing is you can systematize that process, too. You don't have to do everything, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You let people do what they do best.
Yeah.
So you're free now to do the things that you do best, which means you're probably going to produce more profit and more results because now you're able to focus on the things you do best. So outsourcing is a good thing
you
to
know,
consider.
We're in Reno right now, and I remember Mark Kalin talking about that
uh-huh.
very thing when he was lecturing here. He performed, and
right.
he was saying that... He said, I have the ability in the education in order to do all this. I can advertise, I can build my props, I can, you know, get the room where I'm going to be doing the show, et cetera, et cetera. And then he said, but why should I? Because then it's kind of guns or butter, basic economics. You know, you can do one or the other. You really
right.
can't be building both necessarily too efficiently. So he said, why not contact all those who are best at what they do, contact
right.
an ad agency, let them put together, and he's got that beautiful idea with the newspaper that
oh,
he puts out.
Do
you want to explain that just real quickly?
What he does, and it's a good thing, and it's a model that I've leveraged several times in my career as well, but the principle is really simple, and that is you create an ad space by way of what Mark did was a magazine. It was a downtown-style magazine.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
I was talking about the one that was more of a flyer. When I say flyer, it was like about a six-page newspaper kind of a thing.
Yeah,
okay, it was called the magazine. I think it was a slick magazine,
It wasn't a slick. It was like a news...
Tabloid.
Like a weekly paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Newspaper.
It looked like a weekly newspaper.
That's right. And it was created for that purpose. It was created... there was advertising in which this is part of the monetization process. He monetized by selling ad space or trading or leveraging. Again,
right.
When I say sell, I don't
mean free tickets to the show and things.
Exactly. Yeah. Or sometimes he got something he wanted for. Again, I shouldn't speak to his model, but that model. When I say he, I mean the model.
The model. Because, yeah.
So you can leverage things. Like, let's say I need some help. I want to put in some high-end coffee into my theater space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I trade some advertising and maybe some dollars or whatever for, so I give them, instead of a quarter page or a sixth of a page ad, I give them a full page ad, or an advertorial even better, which looks like an article but it's an ad, for their business, and in exchange for, they host coffee in my venue for my special event. You know, nice exotic coffee or whatever. So ad sales, in-kind sponsorships or trades, as far as, and then of course, you're the key or the feature or the cover article. So you might have inside, you know, Mark and Ginger Kalin or Dean Hanke or whatever it is, and then you get the center spread, the double truck right there in the middle, and you get, you know, and so. But it looks like there's articles of value in there. There's advertising.
It's got a map of the area.
It's got a map of the area.
Yeah.
It maybe has some coupons if you've leveraged it right. And, you know, so
but when they see those big double truck ads, they must think, this must be one heck of a show. You know, look at this.
Exactly.
All the testimonials, et cetera.
Exactly. And that was all manufactured. Now, I think that was manufactured ethically because it's just marketing. I mean, if you put out a flyer, that's just the same,
same
as
thing.
Putting out a nice thing. The only difference is you're making money. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay? We're going to say that out loud? Is that like foul language in the industry?
Well, unless you're a Democrat, I guess.
Okay, that's right. Exactly. So, so you're making money. But the good news is you're getting rewarded for creating value. You're not just taking advantage of you, people. You're actually providing a value-added service. You're providing coupons and service and advertising and a map and well-written articles about businesses and tips and tricks and strategies and whatever it is. You know, I've done it in the business arena, so I offer those kinds of things. But like for the downtown magazine, it would be, you know, well-written articles about local businesses or about what to expect when you're downtown and so on and so forth, whether they're an advertiser or not. Real value-added insights and information about the topic of the tabloid. So as far as they're concerned, it's just a local tabloid.
Right.
And then,
but it's an advertising piece.
But it is directly, it is a, you know, in marketing language, we pull one of those things out, we call that a tear sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. It's just taking and leveraging what people are already know, like, and trust, which is newsprint.
Right.
And so you're leveraging the credibility. Now, you know, because, of course, if your name is in newsprint or in print, people
must
are
be
more,
real.
It must be.
It must be true.
It must be true. It must be true.
Yeah.
And again, if you do it well, I mean, it's obvious if it's just an advertising piece.
True.
That was a well-done piece, and all the pieces that I put together before and since are,
well,
you know.
Le Grand David has done that for years, of course, with a movie theater, and they talk about what the shows are going to be coming up and a little blurb about the summary of that, but then also it has what's happening, you know, with the Larkin Theater, et cetera. It's always been a beautiful piece. Well, let me just ask you then, because we still have just a few minutes left, to talk, before I got to jump on my flight here,
please. But
that is about some other ideas, you know, just that's one thing perhaps some people will say may not want to necessarily go that far to go into having a magazine site.
Exactly. Two super simple things. And rooted in the foundation that all sales is emotional, relational in the sales process. So it's anything you can do in video. If you can convert your life to video, covenant vow number 3 in our coaching program, number 1 is never leave the site of a human interaction without creating value.
Okay.
Number 2 is leverage everything, which basically means if I'm going to sell to one or I'm going to sell to 100, why don't I sell to the 100 for a little bit more time, talent, and treasure? Not much, but about the same, and get 100 times the potential return.
Correct.
So, and the other is, if you breathe, record it. So
it's so easy to record now.
It is so easy.
Or the really cheap video cameras.
A production suite in your pocket,
exactly.
Literally, and you can always throw it away, or you can always keep it as notes, or you can always take some screen captures. Now you've got pictures. You can also turn it into an audio for a podcast like this. You can do anything you want once you've got it. It's just digital dust storage if you don't use it.
Right.
You can always, I've called back on it. So assuming you begin to record things, you can ask people for their excited endorsement. So somebody comes up to you after a program or during a program or seen you in the past or whatever, you say, you know what? your comments, your recommendations can help me help other people. Would you be willing to share that excitement with somebody?
And more likely than they are. Yeah, exactly. Get a testimonial that way.
Exactly. And then you just record that excitement. Again, I don't hold the camera right in front of you and go like this, because psychological tip number one, people will want to act.
Or they'll clam up.
Or they'll clam up.
You know, sometimes they'll have a genuine response after they said, "Do you mind, you know, putting this on my camera?" They'll go either no or yeah, okay. But the next time it's like, if you're going to have Scott Wells or have a magician, what did I say again?
And, you know, that's right. Is that he didn't suck too bad.
Yeah. Suddenly, yeah, the energy is just not there.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that is an important strategy. So I simply like hold the camera down or off to the side, and I basically interview them. So they're not looking straight into the camera. Who cares? It looks like they're looking to somebody, which is, again,
even
that
better. Yeah.
Authentic
yeah.
kind of yeah. connection process.
Yeah.
And so, so record everything. Record your shows. Record exciting moments like what we're doing here. You know, make sure that you capture those things, because you can always turn them into tips, tricks, strategies. For instance, now you can have simple video. Hey, I'm here in the airport and I'm running into Scott Wells, and we took a few moments to record a podcast while you're out and about. If you send for run into somebody you know, make sure you interview them for their expertise and share it with people you know, love, trust, and can add value to.
That's right. That's right.
How cool is that?
Well, hopefully we've added a lot of value. I think people are going to be listening to this podcast. I mean, we had just a ton of stuff that we've talked about here. You've talked about it. It's been very good. A couple of quick things, though, that the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word.
Yep.
And so I want you to be thinking about what your magic word might be.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be abracadabra, but, you know, what is it that you might live by? What is your philosophy? You know, it's important to you. But I wanted to just let you give a couple of websites if people want to get in touch with you or find out more information, learn about how to market themselves better, your webinar, those kinds of things.
Sure.
How can they get hold of Dean Hankey?
Almost all of that stuff can be found really simply on either one of my websites, thedeanofsuccess.com, thedeanofsuccess.com, or you can email me directly. I'm a real human being. I will honestly and ethically respond. I won't spam you, won't sell you. I'll respond. If you decide to come into a list where I share tips and stuff, then you'll get what everybody else gets. But and that's results, like getting results at my name, Dean Hankey, DeanHankey. So results at DeanHankey.com. If you want to connect with me, I'm happy to serve in any way. So
great. And your Facebook page and all that?
The Dean of Success. So just go to Facebook.
On Twitter or anything?
Yeah, the Dean of Success. Or my page, my personal profile is the Dean of Success. My page is the Marketing Magician.
I gotcha. Okay. Now, to your magic word.
Sure. My magic word is service.
Okay.
And it's rooted in the basic premise that the more you serve, the more you become served. Zig Ziglar said, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't know exactly, but help enough other people find what they want and need, and you will always have all you need. So my paradigm is the more value you create, the more money you'll make. And money isn't always money.
Right.
It's sometimes a relational
right, another kind of success.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good. Dean Hankey, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate
you
coming over here and spending some time. And
appreciate
all
you
the
squeezing
over here
me
airport.
In. Yes. Yeah.
Well, and vice versa. I'd like to spend some more time with you, and I'm sure that in the future we'll be seeing each other, and we can do this again and kind of update everything. And so if you guys want to get hold of Dean, you've got the information on how to reach him now. And I know that you might have some questions. And so be sure to direct those to Dean Hankey over there. So that was Dean Hankey, and for The Magic Word, this is Scotty out.